listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication Call-In Radio Show. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Andy Shaw available to answer your relationship questions. Before we take your call, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the WAN Institute. Dr. Pat Allen started the WAN Institute over 50 years ago to help men and women learn to express their wants and not wants with integrity and honesty, and to recognize and avoid the damaging ploys of intimidation and seduction. Some of the things Dr. Pat Allen teaches is about male-female relationships have often been called politically incorrect, but are scientifically accurate, and they work. Tonight we have Andy Shaw, and if you want to call in, the radio show call-in number will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. I'm Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter. I'm the director of the Dr. Pat Allen WANT Institute. We're a 501c3 organization, and we have Dr. Pat Allen's work, and we help couples and singles build and maintain healthy, loving relationships. I currently offer a woman's monthly ladies groups various times during the week. It's via Zoom. So if you're interested in attending my Zoom ladies groups, just give me a call at 949-723-0338 or send me an email at info@drpatallen.com. info@drpatallen.com. So tonight we have Andy on the show. Andy, do you want to pop in and say hi?
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Hi. I just wanted to share, we added some new information available for free on our website. Currently on the drpatallen.com website, we have Dr. Pat Allen's streaming video of chemistry, compatibility, and communication. It's Dr. Pat teaching all of her material and tools. And we just added her relationship seminar link, which is, probably 30 recordings of her Monday and Wednesday seminars. Unfortunately, the first, 13 are unavailable. It starts at 3-13. So the first probably 10 or 13 are show an error. But once you get down to 3-13, you can listen to the weekly radio, the weekly seminars. Remember those, Andy, the seminar recordings?
Oh, how can I forget? I love those things.
This is the package one. These are not the iTunes ones. So these are all audio technical and they're audible. You can hear them. So they're all formatted. So please feel free to go to our website and enjoy listening to years of Dr. Pat Allen's LA seminars and Orange County seminars. So I wanted to offer that. That's our Christmas gift to the public. And unfortunately, tonight will be the last night of our show for now. We will have her recording still up and available. As you know, we're a 501c3 and the donations have slacked off. So unfortunately, we're not able to fund this radio show without the support of our donations. And I just wanted to share that, but there'll be the recordings of all the past shows available for at least a month until I can see if I can get some more donations. So Andy, do you want to say anything about what I just said or about the recordings available?
I'm on the website right now. It's at the top. There's a free access. Relationship seminar in parentheses. If you click on it, it gives you a long list of shows.
Yeah, the first 13, when you click them, they say error. And unfortunately, the web host person that I got, she didn't want to go in there because that's a link. So she'd have to go into the link and do a lot. And she didn't want to mess with it. I don't know. Maybe you could investigate and see if you could do something with it. Because she only took the link, so she didn't have access to the backdoor page or the original one.
I will investigate and we'll get it fixed.
Yeah, it's the Audible start at 3-13. That's when I noticed they started. So
okay, I'll check them all out and make sure they all work. If not right now,
People will, you know, I just wanted it because they'll go on 1, 2, 3 and they'll go, oh, these aren't working. But I made a note that they work on, go down more just so it doesn't like get frustrate the people. But hopefully we'll get some callers today. People, please call in just to support us. 323-203-0815. So tonight, what do you want to talk about, Andy? I can pull something up. Anything you want to talk about in particular of interest?
Well, I always like real world problems.
Like that. There's always a lot of problems.
Well, like, you know, the problems your ladies group might have.
What we're working on now is, weekly I talk about different segments. My ladies groups, we have formats. We talk about inner child work. I just did a guided visualization to help the ladies with inner child work, because as you know, that's where you start off your, how you pick your partner on what you saw in your family. So if your dad was unavailable or an alcoholic or abusive or unavailable and you were ignored love, guess what you pick when you grow up? The same model. And it's a hard pattern to break. So when you can learn to understand what happened, you know, in your childhood, you can hopefully work to switch your, we call it your picker. It's actually what's familiar, because you pick similar to dad and similar to mom. And if that's the way you saw a loving family, you'll pick somebody pretty similar to that. And you have instant chemistry for that. And stable, secure, safe guy, because he's so unfamiliar, he's boring and you have no chemistry with. And as Dr. Allen always stated, go with the boring, stable guy till you get used to being with that. She calls fake it till you make it, because being with the safe, stable guy, your trauma bond, your norepinephrine, you won't have the highs and lows, so you don't feel that. You think it's chemistry, but it's actually dopamine hits, the highs and lows. And you'll eventually get used to safe and secure. You'll break your trauma bond. And that's kind of a hard one to do, because ladies want the instant chemistry. But as we always say, go with compatibility first, and then the chemistry will follow. And then the communication, it's, you know, chemistry, compatibility, and communication. You want a little bit of chemistry, but you definitely want compatibility, because chemistry can burn out. Compatibility will stay the long term. What do you think about that, Andy? What are your thoughts on, you know, people that want that chemistry first? You can have chemistry with a broke janitor, but he may not have any of the compatibility you want.
Yeah, I always think of the L side of it, like there's chemistry, communication, compatibility, which is, sorry, my mouth is not working right now.
Okay.
I'll start with a C. But so like communication's love.
Okay.
And chemistry is lust. And we all know lust wanes sometimes.
Yeah.
But compatibility is like, and if you like them, you'll stick it out.
That's true. That's a good interpretation. So go over that again.
So communication is love.
Uh-huh.
Chemistry is lust. And we know chemistry wanes or dissipates over time. And how do you gain more lust is by communication.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're, how do you gain more communication? Compatibility, you got to like them.
Yes, that's absolutely true. That's where the chemistry will come in. If you have good communication, and you're compatible on all, you know, so many different values on life, you know, where you want to go in life, or it's, you know, everything that to build a relationship.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who wants to build relationships with people they don't like.
Well, they want to, they think they want to build it with people that they have chemistry with, because the sex is good and the excitement, but that usually burns out after about a month or two.
That's true. I think isn't the max like 90 days?
I usually get the most I've seen it is 30 days. It's 30 days. It's hit or miss. They're gone. It's just too fast. These people are instant, you know, instant connection, and then it fizzles out because they haven't, all they've done is lusted each other.
Yeah, well, fun in the immediate future, definitely not a long-term fuel.
Mm-hmm. Remember the saying always a long time ago, friends first, lovers second?
Oh, absolutely.
You have to like the person.
Yeah, if you don't like them, game over, forget it. Like, why am I even here?
You can have chemistry, but you don't have to. What was that saying Dr. Pat used to say about the baby and dirty diapers? I never get that right.
I said that last week. What was that?
Yeah, something about love or like or approve. Or...
It was about cherishing. It was in Nestor's
book.
One moment.
Okay.
Green diaper. There it is. Often women don't understand what cherishing means. Some women see it as it being a doormat, subservient, and that you're giving away hard-fought emerging power. It's not. It's easy to love a baby in clean diapers. It takes cherishing to love a baby in dirty diapers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So dirty diapers is loving you even though you're in your worst moments.
Yeah. As she said, when we women are irrational, irritating, and what is it? That's what she always used to say.
Yeah, irrational, irritating. Come on. Now you gotta look it up. It's one of the, it's for men.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
I promise on my honor not to put my magic wand in anywhere it can get in unless I tell her my goals first. I also promise on my honor to give, protect, and cherish women, kids, animals, and the planet, even when they're illogical, irrational, and irritating. So help me God.
Yeah.
And for women, this is all from the Answers book right now. I promise on my honor, never will I let that magic wand in anywhere it can get in, unless I can negotiate with its owner about his long-term plans for me, his sexual and social monogamy, and his weekly continuity. And should I let that magic wand in without a contract, I will not complain about the money I will spend on shrinks and the time it takes me to detox. Help me, God. That dang magic wand's got something going on, huh?
Okay, yeah. I was just picking a topic because this seems to be a big one. I think we talked about it last week. Breakups.
What about it? What do you mean?
Breakups and losses. I pulled it up. What may basically breakups activate attachment wounds, not just sadness. We don't just grieve the person; we grieve the future we imagined, the vision of ourselves we were becoming. There's nothing weak about lingering pain. Okay, so heartbreak isn't a failure. It's an attachment injury. You know, the attachment styles. So I know there's a lot of ladies in my groups that are going through breakup now, and they're all wondering what they did to break it up. It isn't about who broke up who. Sometimes you're just incompatible. You're finding out that there's different, that, you know, first of all, you want to be with somebody for a year. And maybe during that year, you see the little big flags that are warning signs that this may be something that you're not comfortable with for the long term. So it's sometimes, as Dr. Pat says, sometimes you have to cause other people pain in order to take care of yourself. And most of my ladies, even after they don't see the red flags and they still want to go back even after it's been breakup number three. And all they've talked about is what he's done bad to them, but they're still longing to be with him. So there's an attachment wound there to pick broken men, or she feels that that's what she deserves. That's the type of man. And she deserved. And then later on, we found out that her dad was, a womanizer. He cheated on his mom all the time, but she praised him for being a good dad. And we put the pieces together because she picks unavailable men like her dad. womanizer. She didn't like hearing that, but that was part of the trauma bond that she experienced. A man, you know, you pick what is familiar with your dad, and she watched her dad cheat on her mom over and over and over, and the mom tolerated it. So this lady, putting the pieces together, she picks unavailable men that come and go, and she's like her mother. She stays and keeps tolerating it, you know, begging him to come back even after she's not treated kindly. So it's a hard attachment style to break. And that's when we try to move you over to the safe and secure men. But unfortunately, they always want what's familiar, the chemistry and lust.
Yeah, change is hard as a whole, much less fighting the things that kept you alive. I was reading something, I'm going to find something else too. Anyways, I'll say something soon as I can find it.
What?
I'm working on myself, trying to change my eating habits. And one of the sayings in there was, staying on track includes detours.
Yeah.
So it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to not be perfect. It's okay to have bumps in the road, detours, stop and go.
Yes.
The point is you just keep going.
Because the disagreements are you building. You have to have disagreements to build.
Yeah, and people being angry when you're talking to somebody, angry is okay. It means they're still involved. They're still part of the relationship. What's worse than anger is indifference. They don't care anymore.
Yeah.
No. People get upset about, oh, they're angry. Well, that's okay. They can be angry, but at least they're still talking to you, hopefully.
Yeah.
So when they stop talking, there's not much else you can do, right?
Yeah.
Done my part. You don't come to the table while there's no negotiation that can take place.
Yeah, and like in this one, the guy didn't even tell her he was breaking up. He just ghosted her. You know, she took care of him when he had surgery. She went home. They were supposed to do phone calls. He ignored her. The decency. And she saw him at a meeting that they go to monthly, and he didn't even acknowledge it. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet there were some red flags way before that.
Yeah. Well, there were red flags. We pulled them out. But, you know, unfortunately, sometimes women ignore it, and they keep thinking, you know, yeah, he had some red flags.
Yeah. And I think we should once again clarify that when we say women and men, we're talking energy.
Yes, energy, because it's the masculine and feminine. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what's between the legs.
Yeah. These women want to be the feminine, and they do a good job, but unfortunately the feminine could switch over to mothering and doormat. That's the danger. The feminine sometimes can be so feminine that they get used and abused, and they're then the doormat. Because they don't know.
And until you understand what's going on and explore what's happening and do the work, at least for me, it was impossible to get better until I started to know more.
Yeah. You
know, once I knew more, which is the first level of learning,
yes,
awareness,
uh-huh,
the ah factor, though, that's what that is, that's what that means. Until you can get there, then the next step is assimilate, where you feel like an ass because you're changing the way you think and the way you talk and the way you act. But given enough time, and that enough time is really just like 3 days, once you start doing the work that you need to do to get to where you want to be, the third level is actualized, where you act out who you were always meant to be.
Yeah.
So no matter how far askew your life may have gone, you can still get back to where you were meant to be.
That's true. So I was talking about red flags. So, you know, some things about red flags, that red flags aren't ignored. Some of the teaching qualifications is red flags aren't ignored because they're naive. They're ignored because we're hopeful. We're familiar with inconsistency. We learn to tolerate discomfort to stay connected, and awareness replaces shame. So this is a reason why a lot of red flags are ignored.
Can you say that all one more time, please?
So when I was talking about women that we might see, I might see the red flags, but they can't see. So maybe in their childhood, their upbringing, they're what I'm saying is red flags, they aren't ignored because we're naive, because we just don't understand. It's because sometimes they're ignored because we're hopeful that it'll work out. We're familiar with inconsistency. Our parents that we saw in their relationship may have been inconsistent. So that's what we learned is love in relationships. And we may have learned to tolerate discomfort to stay connected. That might be what's familiar. I have to have the ups and downs. And then awareness replaces shame. A lot of times growing up, children were shamed for behaviors or feelings. And then the key line is, we don't ignore red flags because we're stupid. We ignore them because we're bonded.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. I like it. I think it, that line gives me hope.
Yeah. One of the other things, this goes back to the attachment and inner child, because we learn these behaviors. And when you feel insecure in relationships, do you pull away or cling? Pulling away is avoidant. Clinging is anxious. And avoidant response is protection, not coldness. We pull away because we want to protect ourselves, not because we want to be cold. And then anxious is we're fear of loss. We fear we're going to lose them. It's not because we're needy. We fear that we're going to lose them. And these patterns are formed early. They can be healed. And then you just have to simply reframe your nervous system. Learned love before your mind ever had a chance. It learned it watching your parents and how they interacted with love. Again, how you saw your dad and your mom interact. If your dad was unavailable, you're going to pick unavailable men. If you were ignored and you weren't received nurturing love, you're going to pick people that you run away from love, because love is foreign. So you have an anxious. So it all goes back to looking at your childhood wounds.
You made me remember something. I want to look something else up too. It's about your brain too, how it works. Your thinking brain, the fast part and the slow part. And the fast part keeps us alive, but it may not make all the best decisions. I'm focusing on food here for the moment, but it relates to relationships, because it's still a relationship with food. Our fast brain will work on the things that we've been conditioned to accept. And our slow brain, if given the right time and right tools, will help us get to a better healthy place. But you don't get those healthy tools unless you're willing to do the work.
Yeah.
And that is not exactly the way it said, but I'm going to try and find it.
What was it now? How did you state it?
Give me 1 second. A little slow. Oops. Helps if you can spell. All right, let me try it one more time. There's
the call it, and hopefully some people. Call in number 323-203-0815. Please call us and ask us a question, or even just check in and tell us how Dr. Pat Allen changed your life, or any comments you want to make about how she's helped your relationship, or what you've learned from her wisdom. Would all be appreciated.
How's your ladies group doing right now?
As I said, I have three breakups. Four. One of them really isn't that concerned. Three are in heartbreak devastation. One is like, yeah, I can better off without him. So, and then I get a lot of women wanting men. And I said, look, it takes a lot of time. You got to kiss a lot of frogs to get your prince. This doesn't happen in 30 days. You know, it's like what Dr. Pat says, changing a behavior takes about 6 to 8 weeks once you're aware of it and you do the work. I can teach you the material. We can teach it on this radio show. You know, everybody understands what's wrong sometimes, but it's going out there and changing the behavior that's hard. That's really hard. The ladies know, they know the script to tell the men, and they freeze up because it's too unfamiliar. They're used to the same pattern. So some of them are getting, you know, they're getting easy. It's getting easier. I said, it's going to take work. You just have to be aware. And they're coming with some good response. So it's work, but you have to want a relationship to do the work. Are you actively looking for a relationship here?
I'm still talking. There's a girl in town that I had seen and met years ago that I liked, but I didn't pursue anything because I had my own cancer at the time.
Oh, okay. It was not the right timing to drop.
No.
Oh, okay.
And then I thought of it. She's got a certain skill set that I wanted to learn from, and I reached out to her, and she immediately projected that I wanted her. Like, I didn't ask for that at all.
Not that you were like, you wanted help, but she thought that you were lusting her or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, that might be a wound of hers, dear.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I took it in stride. And then we're like, she's like, I can't do this right now. Okay, that's fine. And I'm out of town. That's okay. That's cool.
Did she attack you with it, or was she kind about it?
She didn't attack. She wasn't necessarily kind. But I just said, you know, have a safe drive. And she said nothing. Like, not thank you, not, you know, be safe, have a safe drive. And she said absolutely nothing well, that was the end of the conversation. So I was like, well, if this is the way you communicate, I don't want you anyways. Even if I did want you, I don't want you.
Well, it could be that she's afraid of men or when man hurt her, so she's guarded. So she's just assuming all men want her and are going to hurt her. So she projects that even before you say anything.
Yeah, I agree. I was trying to get her to at least meet me to, you know, get off of Facebook Messenger.
Yeah. Protecting
left brain safe area.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't do that. So I was like, okay, well, I've done what I can do. There's nothing else I can do.
No.
And she just kind of pushed me away, which is fine. It's her right to do it.
Yeah.
But it's okay. So I found.
Okay.
This thing. The title is Explaining Impulsive Eating. And it's from a book called Diabetes Meal Planning and Nutrition for Dummies.
Okay.
And though this is about food, it relates to relationships to anything. So I'm just going to read this like couple paragraphs or kind of might take me a minute. But it says, if you're like most people, you probably have a mobile phone full of photographs. To you, these photographs are colorful and represent pleasant memories. So this is Andy talking. Take that same idea and your memory of how your parents related, or the memory of how your grandparents related, whatever it is.
Yeah.
In computer language, your photos are just a series of black and white ones and zeros. It's a secret language, but looking at millions of ones and zeros won't stimulate any pleasant memories for you. Your body has a secret language too, a chemical language.
Uh-huh.
Although you don't consciously understand this chemical language any more than the ones and zeros on your computer, this chemical language stores vivid memories, especially about food, and you can understand these memories very, very well. It's an amazing system that has helped humans survive the toughest times. For an overly simplistic explanation, Consider that the part of your brain responsible for survival
does
not trust your thinking brain.
Yeah.
With some very important responsibilities. And survival is procreation. This is me talking.
Yeah.
The rest of it goes, your thinking brain can be so wrapped up evaluating something logically that it might forget to eat when food is available. And in tough times, you have to grab food or a mate whenever you can. So this part of your brain gives you a chemical reward when you remember to eat, a chemical that brings a comforting feeling of well-being. It's a reward that's so satisfying that you'll remember to eat no matter what your thinking brain is preoccupied with. And to make doubly sure you won't miss an eating opportunity, your brain gives you a little boost, even if you think about food or see a picture of food. Eventually, impulsive eating when food is available is second nature and completely unconscious. Most important in the contest between your impulse to eat and your thinking brain, impulse usually wins. However, this amazing biological system is obsolete in a society where food is constantly available and it runs on overload when images of unhealthful food surround you everywhere you look. Or, in our case, not available to people.
Yeah.
It does not, however, have an off switch. There's a chapter explains how being surrounded by food and images does not need to trigger unhealthy impulses. In fact, it actually can do the opposite. Anyways,
it's the same thing about your brain is picking up signals from way back when.
Yes.
Yeah, the same. Well, you're talking about food, but it talks about relationships and partners too.
Yeah, it goes on to say many times we crave certain food styles when we are truly craving an emotional state.
Yeah. Yeah, so that does. So does it say how you, okay, because I know that, see, if you were with a family that love was, love was ignored and you had to earn it or it was inconsistent, you generally pick that in men. Does it say how to heal that, to rewire the brain?
It says, so there's a tip here. It says it's worth taking a few minutes to pause each time you have strong cravings for certain foods.
Yes. Picking a man, take time to get to know him rather than so it's the same thing.
Try sitting with your feet flat on the floor. Put one hand on your heart and the other hand on your belly and breathe in and out very slowly 3 times. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself, why am I craving this food or man?
Yes.
What is it that I'm truly craving?
Yes.
If I had a magic wand and could be doing anything right now, what would I rather be doing? Mm-hmm. And the last paragraph is then take a deep breath and write down your answers, reminding yourself that your health is your first priority.
Yes.
Ask yourself whether you can achieve the desired emotion, comfort, love, sweetness, another way.
Yeah.
Calling a friend, going for a walk, watching a comedy, calling us, and eating more healthful versions of the food you're craving can help a great deal in breaking negative habits.
That's kind of like how Dr. Pat says, go with the guy that you don't have the chemistry because you'll desensitize. That's staying to rewire your brain with something uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it works for all things.
And it takes time. It's not, one guy isn't going to train your brain to like stable, boring men. You've got to do it consistently, and you have to be aware of it, and you have to process. It's fake it till you make it, like Dr. Pat says. You have to do the work, and it's uncomfortable, and it takes time. You have to go in deep, and I do the same thing. Do the deep breath work and evaluate. Why do I want this man? What does he gain in my life? Am I wanting him for instant gratification? Am I wanting him because of inconsistency, familiar from childhood? You've got to look at what he's giving you now with an open mind. Same as like what you said with food. Why do you want it? You're craving.
And I found that whatever bugs you needs to get out of your head. Whatever you talk about the most, you need to write down.
Let me ask you something about addictions, okay? Because I have one breakup lady where her boyfriend, he smokes pot nightly, and he's hard to get in touch with his feelings or emotions. And, you know, he's had a little bit of, you know, his parents kind of coddled him and stuff. But he does have anger outbursts, and then he apologizes later. And as I remember, Dr. Pat, she always says, addicts, they're not, you know, you to get out of your head, you self-medicate drugs, alcohol, or mind-altering chemicals. So she wouldn't even see a person that was an alcoholic till he stopped drinking, because there's nothing you can do. They just drink and then everything goes away. What are your thoughts on somebody that drinks? Are they actually in the relationship fully, or is it part of them? What's your point of view on that?
My point of view, I have a friend who I love. I've known him for, oh God, I'm 52. I met him in kindergarten. And I remember my first drink of alcohol was with him when I was probably 7 years old.
Wow. Okay.
Whenever I see him, it always revolves, usually not always. Recently this has changed. But as for 40-something years, revolved around alcohol. And alcohol is his first love. So,
something must have happened. Did you know, like, what happened in his younger days, why he might have needed the alcohol?
His dad was a Vietnam vet.
Oh, okay. Might have been a lot smoker. See there.
Yeah, you know, just trying to shut out those images.
Yeah.
And I think he adopted that mindset.
Okay.
Him and his brother both are alcoholics. I mean, not a truly diagnosed one, but
yeah.
One that I can't even compare. Mine's like a 2 compared to his 100.
Well, that again, he grew up with a family that had some kind of mental illness or, you know, trauma. So he got it too. So maybe he does the alcohol to self-medicate, so he doesn't have to, you know, sometimes people self-medicate. So in a relationship with this one person, I tell her he's not fully with it. He broke up with her and he can't even give her reasons. I just say he's not even in touch with his reasons. That's why he can't tell you. One minute he's screaming, the next minute he's like, oh, we're not good. So, and then he smokes pot and everything's fine. So she's dealing with like 2 different people. I tell her, which version do you have?
You know, what's interesting is I work in an area that requires a security clearance.
Yeah.
And I have a friend of mine who puts on a, what he calls a security Jedi council. And he was actually talking about marijuana today.
What would you say about it? Yeah.
Well, the federal government wants to move it from a Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. And I don't really know what that means. That's not my bailiwick.
Doesn't that mean it's, isn't like coding and stuff like a 5 where you have to get?
Yeah, I think so. But basically just making it less legal, less harmful, legal-wise.
Oh, okay.
But they were talking about the mental ramifications of someone who smokes it daily. And there's a psychological problem that happens when you are a daily smoker of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that.
Do you think you get a tolerance where you need higher and more, and it doesn't feel the same?
I don't think you do. I remember looking at a movie theater, and it said like you need 9, like, you know, where you could. And I don't know anything about drugs. This is not my thing either.
Yeah, I don't do that. Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to use something, and it absolutely is not true, but this is my analogy. You know, a teaspoon of cocaine, you can overdose with a teaspoon of cocaine.
Yeah.
If you get that same amount in your system in marijuana, you need 900 pounds of the stuff.
Wow. Okay.
So, no, that's, I mean, it might be a better grow or something, but it doesn't compare to the harder drugs in the world.
Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering, it's not that it would do harm. It's just that would it make you not be in touch with your real feelings and maybe not share your real feelings or be present with your partner? Kind of like numbing out. So you're there, but you're not really there. So the partner is getting a shell of the real person.
I think so. Another friend of mine with bipolar, he has to smoke it every day.
because, you know, it's like they broke up and he writes her letters, but it's always during the day. I said, well, he usually smokes pot at night. So he's more probably ruminating during the day, not smoking pot. So I said, it's like he's more in touch with his feelings. So eventually he does write her, but it's always like probably during a day when it's not pot smoking. Because he smokes the pot at night.
All I know is my friend has to smoke it every day. Otherwise, his mental wheel in his head just goes out of whack.
Well, maybe sometimes it does. This one says it comforts him, though, too. So yeah, I know that, her problem with him was that he would get, like, all of a sudden get anger outbursts that scared her. And then he'd apologize. But he wasn't smoking pot when he had those outbursts. He tried not to smoke as much around her. So him being sober is the real him.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like him smoking pot, but that's the mellow version of him that she likes, but she doesn't like the pot smoking. So he is a Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. And I think the pot is a substitute for a therapist.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the way to be socially acceptable without actually working on yourself.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not going to say it's bad because some people need it for cancer, for pain. I don't have anything against it. But in a relationship, sometimes it can affect a relationship because your partner doesn't, unless you both smoke pot, then you're both in the same position. But,
yeah, I'm not judging anything at all, anywhere. Definitely has its purpose.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Indians smoked it for years.
Yeah.
So in my book, it's okay because of that.
Yeah.
Everything has its place.
Yes. It's just that she's kind of in a bad place because he's it's sad because he's not really there and she wants him, but I keep telling her until he stops smoking pot, you may not get the real him. He may be in denial and self-medicating, and that's okay because this is his choice. We can't teach him how to be a better man because she wants to try and show him how to share his feelings. Like I say, that's not our job to teach him how to express feelings. There's a reason that he doesn't share them, and that's not our business. We can't teach, preach, bitch, or moan about what he's doing that we don't like.
Yeah, I mean, they want to go to a therapy session. That's a better place for it. But.
Yes. So Dr. Pat always says, accept him the way he is, reject him and find a better compatible partner, or tolerate. That's where you're half accepting and half rejecting, because that will drive you crazy and you will blow up. So that's how it usually goes.
Yeah, we know that firsthand, don't we?
Yeah, we know a lot of women, the concept about the tolerating, the accept, reject, they go, one lady, she wants to live with her boyfriend and he likes it of convenience. They see each other, on the weekends. She wants a guy to move in. And he says he can't do that right now because of his work. Well, so she's half accepting him by still and half rejecting him. I go, dear, you're tolerating him because you're mad because he won't let you move in. You want full-time moving in, but he says that doesn't work for him. Well, and I just said, make a decision. So she's doing a 30-day evaluation to see if she wants to blow it up, because once you bring it to awareness, if she really wants a partner that lives together, he may not be her pick.
That's very true.
That's the compatibility part. He doesn't want to live with a woman and she does. Who's going to bend? Because if he bends, he's going to be mad at her. And because she wants it, she's mad at him. He won't bend.
Yeah, then you're worth asking the question, is it worth to negotiate a deal anywhere?
Well, yeah, that's a hard one, because she knew the deal way back when, but people sometimes don't want to think about it. They think, well, he'll change later, and it's been 3 years. It's the same thing when people, they get into relationships, they don't talk about marriage, timelines. And the poor woman staying, you know, and not knowing a timeline. And 4 years comes around and this guy has no timeline ever. And she's wasted 4 years because she didn't talk about it. That's where you have to talk about where your long-term future plans are going so you're compatible, that you're both going to the same place with the same timeline, hopefully.
And we'll bring in the idea of a relationship contract at this moment. To talk about time, space, money, and play.
Yeah.
We've got your wants, not wants, and deal breakers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, usually we, you know, that is available to watch on our website too, the Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. That's free access as well. You know, here at the One Institute, you know, we're doing our best to help people with prospering, loving relationships and communication tools. And we have these radio shows going for call-in people, and we offer the free access on our website to help the community. So please, please use us if at all available. And my ladies groups are reasonably priced. And hopefully we wanted to start one with Andy. I'm sending out a newsletter in the next couple days advertising. So we do our best to spread Dr. Allen's teachings as best we can.
Yeah, I know they helped me. Life changer.
They help a lot of people. I've had a lot of friends that I've worked with, you know, that have gotten married. And they check in because, you know, you always go, you know, you could know Pat's stuff, but you get off course a lot too, because you're so familiar with, you know, 40 years of that way. It's hard to stay in a new way. It takes a lot of practice.
Yeah, big difference between knowing a thing and doing a thing.
That's for sure.
We all know how to eat well, but do we do it?
No. that's a hard lesson. We know what's good for us, but to do it, it's, you know, and you just go with what's familiar and what you're comfortable with too sometimes. And it's sometimes addiction. You know, we're addicted to that. Like, some women are addicted to that type of man when they should be with that one. We're addicted to that food when we should be eating that food. But we like that one, but it's not good for us. The same with men. Okay, yeah. Keep eating that, and eventually something will happen to hopefully make a change.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, we're running out of time here. So unfortunately, I want to say goodbye to everybody. Hopefully, we're going to see about coming back on. I'm trying to dig up some more donations, but we will have our recordings available. And I want to just say thank you for sharing the time with us. And I want to thank Andy for being a supportive co-host here. Anything you want to say to the audience, Andy?
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, audience. Take care of yourselves.
Okay. Goodbye for now, folks. Thank you.
Bye for now.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.